The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
So good to have you with us on this Thursday. We have a jam-packed show of guests, and we will weave in and out things that are on my mind, Eric's mind. We have Devin in today, chairman of the board. Devin Henry, don't screw up. Suns won a game last night. That's the show. Thanks for being with us. No, I'm just kidding. I was on a conference call with John Gruden yesterday. It was kind of interesting. I want to get to that in today's show. Letter of Intent Day was yesterday in college basketball, and Jalen House is now a Sun Devil. We have a huge weekend of college football. Really, the college football story is the front-facing story that everybody's talking about. As I like to do on the show, there's a couple of things that are bubbling below the surface. And one of them involves, where are the Suns going to play basketball in years to come? You can insert the joke there now, but I'm actually being kind of serious about this. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor. Protect what matters most. And that means you do so through life insurance. When was the last time, guys? Have you ever just sat and looked at your situation and say, I am not protected? If I did not come home tonight, if I was wiped out, I don't know what would happen to my family. I don't know what would happen to my significant other. Or have you ever not looked into annuities? Maybe the time to do it is now. It's interesting. I've been working with Sagicor now for a couple of weeks. I got my license. And I come across situations and stories, people that are coming in and out of personal situations, and their lives are changing. So it's never too early. It's never too late just to log on and check out and get some information, get your free quote, and do so online at Sagicor. They're really good people. Appreciate Sagicor and their support. Lincoln Kennedy is going to join us on today's show. Big Lincoln. Lincoln Kennedy and I go all the way back to when he was a junior and senior in high school. He was a dopey kid back then. I'm going to tell him that over the phone here in a few minutes. Jimmy Vaccaro will be with us, South Point Casino Resort. We look ahead to the huge games on Saturday night with ASU and U of A. We look forward to the huge titanic battle of the Cardinals and we look forward to the Cardinals and Raiders are playing Sunday. So we'll talk to Jimmy about that. Bill Goodykoontz. I don't know if Goody is at the movies or not this week. He's on college tours. I was at Fantastic Beasts last night. I am not a Harry Potter person, but my wife and my kids are, to my detriment. I know more about Dumbledore than I really should. I don't know about you guys, if you're in that space in life. Last night, the Quidditch team from ASU showed up. Of course they did. I didn't know that ASU had a Quidditch team, but they do. People showed up in costume last night for this movie. This was like a big deal at the Cine Capri. And I'm looking around like, you've got to be joking me. There's a Quidditch team at ASU? Of course, they're riding around on brooms. Why not? So we'll talk with Bill, a chief film critic when it's appropriate, and media critic when it's all the time with him, AZ Central and Gannett. All right, so off the court with the Suns, there's a new mayor in Phoenix. I think that's not good news to get a new arena built downtown. A story has floated yesterday about the Suns looking at different destinations. Eventually, I believe that will lead to Las Vegas. I'm not saying they're moving to Las Vegas as I'm sitting here today, but look at who owns the team and what is his background, and leverage is everything. And Vegas is sitting there. I'm just telling you, and I've gone on this rant before on this show and said, be careful. And I've actually had people affiliated with the Suns back in the Colangelo days when they actually won. And they believe if Robert moved, it would be like the Houston Oilers moving to Tennessee, and that the NBA would look at the mistake being made here and they'd grant a new franchise. And that is the only way out of this debacle that has gone on. And debacle is a very soft, kind word. In terms of on the court last night, they won. Eric, did you watch any of this blowout win for the Suns last night? Victory number three?
Nope, I did not see any of it.
Not see any of it.
I saw highlights, but I did not see any of the game.
I did not see any of the game either. I saw highlights, and I attempted to watch it on DVR, and it's like, okay, let's get this straight. Rudy Gay and Paul Gasol are not playing. This is a November midweek game. Now, if you're a Suns fan, it's like, man, Brad, you just hate on us. We are never going to forgive you. No. Even if you're an employee down there today, you know this. It's your third win, and it was against an undermanned Spurs team. So they did what they were supposed to do.
And LaMarcus Aldridge played horrible. So,
well, if you have Paul Gasol alongside of you, He's pretty good.
He is.
And if you take him off the floor, and Rudy Gay can shoot, right? So you take those two guys off the court. And let's be honest here, Eric. This is San Antonio 3 weeks into the regular season, not having Kawhi Leonard, not having Manu Ginobili, and not having Tony Parker anymore. If there was ever a time to jump a team, because they're still trying to figure out the whole chemistry thing. Have you been watching A Basketball Life on ESPN, that whole documentary?
I have not. I heard it's good, though.
They did a segment the other night on the Spurs when Duncan came to San Antonio and his relationship with Greg Popovich. And, man, it was good.
I bet it's great.
Oh, my gosh. It was so good. And it was Pop yelling at Duncan and Duncan and Pop getting into each other and how they didn't get along. And, you know, I know there's Suns fans here that don't like Greg Popovich. It's like you just don't like him because he's not on your team and he always kicks your ass all over the floor and wins titles. It was the David Robinson talk during the piece.
Yep.
Because, you know, when they drafted Duncan, they already had Robinson and would it take away from everything at San Antonio. But they talked about just this. It took time for chemistry to come together. Now, I could make that argument for the Suns. I really could. You could say, well, you know what? If Gay and Gasol play last night, do the Suns still win by 20? No. Are they getting better? Well, that's hard to say. Some of the stuff coming out of DeAndre Ayton already about what's going on with the coach. The Suns shot well last night. It was the first time this season where they shot 50% from the floor. So I'm not going to sit here today and say everything is great. Everything's turned around. They host Oklahoma City this Saturday night.
What is great, Brad, is DeAndre Ayton's going to be great. He's been so good.
Do you think he's going to be great?
He's been quietly very, very good through the first month and a week of the season.
He wasn't quiet when he questioned his coach after the New Orleans
game. No, but I mean, that is a rookie saying something they probably shouldn't say
Out of frustration. Alvin Gentry actually had to defend Igor after that game. And look, I go back to the Laker game where he waved us all off. Like, no, I'm not talking. Like, dude, really? You're a week into this and you're already going to pull that?
Right.
Don't diva out here. I think he's got personality. I think there's all that and it's growing for him. In reality, he should be a sophomore taking a 100-level class at U of A right now. But that's not reality.
Or having someone take a 100-level class for him.
Now, that's not nice. That's a cheap shot.
It's not a cheap shot. I mean,
it's
true.
It's true. It's actually true.
I went to a college. I see how these things work.
It's actually true. Are you into what's going on at Golden State?
I am. A little bit.
I am.
It's pretty entertaining.
Is it the NBA? Because usually what happens in the NBA, Eric, you know, my spin on this is they come up with storylines and plot lines like WWE. And WWE, at the end, everybody gets all excited about it.
And ESPN pushes it because ESPN has the rights.
Has the rights.
/ABC.
So, you know, here it is. It's mid-November. Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant's brother is now involved in this whole deal.
Yep.
And
Durant's not coming back, I don't think. And it's perfect because now Draymond Green can be the scapegoat.
Yes, but I liked how Steve Kerr just basically said, I don't need to be a mediator for you two guys. You guys are grown men.
And that's I think that's part of what makes Steve Kerr not just a really good coach, but just he just doesn't get in the middle of it. He just lets when you have that much talent, you just sort of let those guys just like you said, just work it out.
Yes.
And I'm not going to get in the middle of it. I'm not going to use the media to leverage one way or the other. Just figure it out.
Steve Kerr said something over the summer about there was a couple times where there's some bad stuff that was going on in the locker room this last year. If you guys think that all this is kumbaya, Danny Ainge gave me the best line ever on this. Brad, running an NBA team, it's 12 corporations that are in 12 lockers, that are on 12 islands, that have 12 different agendas. And you have to make them all work together. It's so true.
And Steve Kerr is a deep thinker. I mean, he thinks he's thinking like 7-8 steps ahead of everyone,
sure.
Not just
yes.
in basketball, but in life.
Yes.
So if there's one coach that I know can figure it out or let his players figure it out, it's Steve Kerr.
But the NBA's got to love that we're sitting here on a Thursday, which is the start of the NFL weekend. And what is the dominating topic of conversation in the sports world today? The Warriors play the Rockets tonight. The Rockets are a mess. I went off on them on Monday with a whole Carmelo Anthony train wreck. How anybody who thinks that that's the right fit, like I've had people suggest the Suns should bring him here. Come on. Warriors play Rockets tonight. Lincoln Kennedy is on the other side. We'll switch gears on Lincoln over to the Raiders because he is the Raiders color analyst with Brent Musburger. They will be in the Valley this Sunday. We'll talk some Raiders and John Gruden. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So behind the scenes, we are continuing to work on our all-academic teams. We do the all-academic teams here at sports360az.com and, of course, our TV show over on Fox Sports Arizona. I've done the all-academic teams for so long that the next voice you hear would have been a first or second year that we did the all-academic team all the way back at Morris High School in San Diego. That would be Lincoln Kennedy. I remember driving a plaque out to see Lincoln back when he was in high school. Now he's just a big-time analyst doing the Raider games, and the Raiders are coming here. Do you still have your all-academic team from me, Lincoln?
I do. It's funny that you mentioned it. I was just looking at it the other day. It was in my office. I do. Thanks for the fond memory. How are you doing today?
Lincoln, I'm great. I'm great. That was Coach Good. Shacklett back in the day. Like, Lincoln yeah. Kennedy was... You were big time, man. And you're still big time. You're doing the Raiders now. And are you going to move to Vegas?
I was just big. Yeah, just
you were big. Are you going to move to Vegas?
No. I've got a nice little spread here in Phoenix, and Vegas is only an hour flight, so I don't need to move.
Yeah. What's going on with the team? I mean, they're coming here this week, and I was on a conference call with Gruden yesterday, and he's a little chippy about you guys are tanking and Derek Carr is regressing. And he's like, guys, we have injuries all over the place, you know.
Yeah.
So well, what's going on with the Raiders as they come here to play the Cardinals on Sunday?
Well, here's the thing. To be fair and to be honest, the fact is that coaches and quarterbacks get all the blame when things go wrong and all the credit when things go right.
Right.
It's a team game.
Right.
The fact is that no quarterback can be successful. He doesn't have protection or doesn't have the pieces around him to do it. And with all the injuries that have that have sort of piled up on this team, as many players they have on the IR and everything else, it's hard for them to be successful. And I can understand why Gruden is kind of snotty at the word tanking, because no one wants to feel that they're losing on purpose. And I don't think the Raiders are losing on purpose. I think they're actually trying to give it effort. They just don't have the manpower to do it. And so, you know, as they come here to Phoenix, this is another one of those games like the 49er game, like the Colts game, like where probably the attitude is going to be pretty high in the beginning. They're just, hopefully they don't run out of juice. I don't want to say anything before it happens, but they seem to run out of juice in the second half because they just can't get things together. And most notably with the offense, you know, they're not able to protect Derek Carr.
Yeah.
He can't even get 3 solid seconds to survey the field before he's under duress or people around him. And so he's got shell-shocked. He's become shell-shocked. And more importantly, you know, there's really no way that you can stretch the field because you just don't have the manpower to do it.
You can't come out of the booth and help on that line, right? You can't move or...
You know what? I'm waiting for them to give me that veteran minimum. I can move. I'll give you a game or two. It's not going to be able to last for the Reds Raiders season. I'm a little older than that, but you know.
Lincoln's tapping his helmet, you know. Come on,
exactly.
Coach. I've done 10
just give
plays.
Me, just give me a break. Give me some water. I'll be able to be back out there.
That's it. So you're thinking that, in all seriousness, you're thinking Derek Carr is shell-shocked. The number of hits that he's taken this year, is it like Brad, he's in harm's way every play? Is it that bad?
It is. It's that bad.
Wow.
I mean, it really is. There's no way. You can't sugarcoat it's that bad. The protection, here's the thing. You run max protection. Max protection is usually 7 to 8 man protection, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you run max protection, then you only have 2 guys that are going out. And advantage defense, because the fact is that the Raiders have been able to be pressured by 4-man pass rush. Not blitzing all the time, just 4-man pass rush. That's how quickly the protection is broken down. So he's under constant duress when it comes to dropping back and trying to throw a pass downfield.
And when you're in max protection, the way to get out of that is to run the football, right? I mean, you got to be able to run.
Yeah.
It's no different than what's going on here with Josh. Josh is under duress most every play, but he's got David Johnson to hand the football off to. So give me the run game and how things have progressed on that front.
Well, there isn't really much of a run game. The fact is Marshawn Lynch was probably their most productive running back, and then he's on IR for the immediate future. I don't know if he'll be able to make it back from before the end of the season. Doug Martin has come in and has spelled, but it's just not enough. I mean, they've gotten some productivity out of the run game in the last couple of games, But because they fall behind and score, then you have to put the ball in the air. So the run game has been inconsistent, which leads to the play action or the passing scenarios. Then when you put yourself, you're behind a couple touchdowns or whatever, you have to come up because they haven't been able to score. You got to throw the ball. And then we go back to the same, you know, the amount of duress that the Raiders are under, Derek Carr is under.
Talk with Lincoln Kennedy. He is the analyst for the Oakland Raiders on Compass Media, and they get ready for the Cardinals on Sunday. Of course, Lincoln Valley resident and big-time football player in the day at Washington in the National Football League, and just a good guy, in spite of what Eric Sorensen says. No, I'm just kidding. defensively, so Frosty Rucker is on this team, and Rucker was a good veteran player here for the Cardinals, a good locker room guy.
Correct.
How's he played, Lincoln?
Very well. They've been trying to discover a rotation out of the defensive end spot. Arden Key, they have high expectations, the third round pick out of LSU. They have high expectations out of him, but he's more right now of a nickel rusher. And you know that as well as I do, in order to be a productive defensive end, you have to be able to play against the run and the pass effectively in this league. Frosty Rucker has been one of those guys that has been one of those stand-in players that has been able to stand up for the run. Not getting as much productivity out of the pass rush as one might want, but against the run, he's definitely been invaluable.
And so the Khalil Mack deal is just not going to go away with fans until the draft takes place, and years from now we can analyze it. The haul that they got back for Khalil Mack, up front, it's not nearly enough. How has this defense been able to move forward? Gruden yesterday was under siege on Khalil Mack questions. What's your view of that whole deal?
Well, it hasn't been able to move forward because you haven't been able to be productive. The fact is you gave up a playmaker,
yeah,
Khalil Mack. In my opinion, I think he's a future Hall of Famer. That's how good the player is. You gave him up because you didn't want to pay him, and so you're moving on. I get it. But you're leaving the most unpredictable part of all this scenario is what you can possibly get. I know you've got two first-round draft choices, so I get it, the value of what you're trying to do. But it's hard to quantify if those draft choices are going to pay off the magnitude that Khalil Mack was as far as
a
player.
Right.
And because that's so unpredictable, you're really doing a coin flip. How many rookies have we seen come out in the National Football League and fail? And especially top round draft choices, so or considered bust. So there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to draft a Khalil Mack. And so where it stands right now with everything that's happened with the Raiders, they've got five number ones in the next 2 years, three number ones in next year's draft, and then two number ones at least in the following draft. And as far as priority to me, it comes down, the very first pick should be rush end or rush specialist. Then the next pick should be either safety or receiver, and then the third pick is either receiver or safety. And then they got to draft a right tackle. They have a blayer and hole on the right side of the offensive line. They got to get a right tackle. So that's the top priorities, but that's just minute compared to all the holes they've got to fill on this team.
A couple other questions. I'll let you go, Lincoln. I appreciate your time, and good to hear your voice as always. This Sunday's game is being billed as potentially the number one overall pick at stake. Do you see it that way?
Yes.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
And the way that Gruden is going about it, what is the overriding way that he is going about building this team from your view that fans may be missing? If you're a Raider fan, you take Khalil Mack and you get rid of him, or David Carr is under duress, you have all these picks. What's Gruden trying to do, I guess, is the question. Is it build towards 2021, or what is the question?
That's the big question right there. I think everybody wants to know. Here's the thing. When Gruden was announced as coach, he said that he wanted to win now, and he wanted to win for Oakland. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of Raider Nation fans are kind of taking to heart, trying to win a Super Bowl for Oakland. Well, that's not going to happen anytime soon. So we all see that. But no one knows what the plan is. And because there are times where the product is so hard to watch, the Raiders, I know they've got injuries, but it's still National Football League, and you want to see a competitive game. It's so hard to watch. You have that question that arises, are they tanking? Are they losing on purpose? Is this something that we need to be, that type of thing that's something we need to be aware of? I mean, the truth is when you think about his plan, no one really knows because he's not come out. He's saying that we're trying to be competitive. We're trying to win football games. I get that at times. They just don't have the manpower to do it. So a lot of times the product sort of transcends the message, if that makes sense.
No, it does. Okay, last time you and I talked, you were doing work with Pac-12 and Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going with this? Where's your career going as a broadcaster?
oh, I'm just taking a stride for stride. I'm still doing Pac-12. I'm still, you know, college football. I'm still doing stuff with the Raiders and full-time guy with the Raiders. So I'm trying to take this whole broadcasting career. I want to grow up and be like you one day. So
get out of here.
I'm trying to take this whole broadcasting career.
What are you talking about? You're nuts. Are you, come on. I want to grow up and be like you someday. You want to come do the all-academic team, Lincoln? Come do the all-academic team. It would be awesome. Well, in all seriousness then, you know, the Raiders is what I see you doing most. I don't see you on Pac-12 as much as I used to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I used to have a bigger staple in there, and then the Pac-12 went through a few changes, and they pulled back on me. So I've got the championship game at the end of the month. I've done a few studio stints and one game this year. I'm trying to work it in my schedule to do more. So it's still a growing relationship, hopefully.
No, I got you. So that said, what do you make out of Herm and Kevin Sumlin? Have you seen enough of them this year to make an opinion on where both programs are?
The thing about college football, and we all know this, it's about recruiting. The Pac-12 has basically, as far as coaching goes, has a who's who of, you know, charismatic, great recruiters. Now it's about making a difference. To me, I think the Pac-12 is up from top to bottom one of the most competitive conferences in the country, not top heavy like some of the SEC or other places. So both Sumlin and Coach Edwards, both have their work cut out for them in order to make a main staple. More importantly, the way the programs are these days, it's not about a regional or a sectional type of part of the, you know, glory in the country. It's about a national reference. And so the pressure that a lot of these kids and a lot of these programs have on them is that, hey, if you win your conference, that's good, but where are you in the national championship or the playoff scheme
right.
of things?
Right.
And then until you're able to make a foothold into that, you're really not going to get much respect. In all my travels, people look down their nose at the Pac-12 because they say, well, they haven't won a national championship. They haven't been competitive in the big playoff series or the big bowl games. That's all fine. And for us who enjoy, you know, competitive football, that's what you get. You're probably going to have a champion this year that has at least two losses in conference. And I don't really think you can tout that from anyone else around the country. But it's still a good football team, whomever it falls out to be. So I think Coach Edwards and Sumlin have got their work cut out for them. I also think they're great coaches, and they're going to do just fine.
Yeah, and one last thought on that. I think this college football season, to me, has been dull and drab from this standpoint. I could have told you back in July that Alabama and Clemson and a combination of Ohio State or Michigan and Notre Dame, Oklahoma, it's the scope, Lincoln, from my view, of the playoff is still too narrow at just four teams.
And absolutely.
It's become just every year it's the same four teams. Georgia might sneak in there, but there's not much drama, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Very true. And I think to a certain extent the people that created the playoff wanted it that way. They wanted to milk it for as much as they could. It caused the type of euphoria that they'd done. And of course the hurt feelings, because there's usually some capable team that's left out.
Right, right.
No matter who it is. Last year it was, you know, the Big Ten championship was left out of playoff, which is absolutely absurd to me, because I believe conference championships should be of value, no matter what their record is. If you win a conference, you should do it. So until they expand it, we're going to have this conversation every single year.
Yeah, you're right. I'll let you go off that. If you really want to be like me and come in and host sometime, just let us know, and I'll take a day off.
More than happy. Are you going to be able to give up that position for a couple of days? You know,
I am the CEO of this. I can give it up for whenever. I'll take a day off. Are you kidding me? I'll see you, my
be
man.
More than happy to just let me know.
See you, Lincoln. Thanks.
Thanks, man.
There's Lincoln Kennedy. Lincoln Kennedy in high school was, now remember, this was in the late 80s, but he was 6'8 and pushing three bills. And when he was at Morris High School, like, everybody and their brother wanted him, and he decided to go to Washington. And he had the biggest smile and was a goofy kid. His body was not clean, like it ended up being at Washington, because he was still growing. And just a great kid. It's great to hear him doing so well on so many fronts. We're going to go to Vegas. I do believe we're going to try to find Jimmy Vaccaro. We're going to try to find Goody. It's one of those shows today where things are fluid, and we like that after this timeout. So let's start looking ahead towards the weekend. And tonight, by the way, there's a terrific, I really do mean this, a terrific Thursday night game. You have Green Bay and Seattle tonight. This is a game that I think the Thursday night schedule is starting to get better and better as we get towards the end of the season. And they're flexing games out. Anytime you have Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson out on the field, I'm going to watch that tonight for sure. Beyond that, the Cardinal game Sunday is interesting in this standpoint. I know, Eric, you're going to the game on Sunday. And as I talked with Lincoln Kennedy about it, yeah, this is one against two. We're getting to a point in the season with the Cardinals where Josh Rosen has got, like, what, 6 weeks in front of him still. And is he going to be able to stay upright through the rest of the season and not be laid out because of all the hits that he's taken? I think that's interesting to me. On the Raiders side of the street, John Gruden, I was on their conference call yesterday, and for him to really bristle at some of the questions about where the team is and where they're heading, I think they're very fair questions to ask. I do believe that. The resurgence of David Johnson, I don't know if we want to call it resurgent. Last week against Kansas City, looked very good. That's one game. Let's not get ourselves too high or too low. String together some impressive showings and go from there. The story of the football weekend, though, clearly is Oregon and Arizona State, and clearly Arizona and Washington State. The two games are going to be on at the exact same time. 8:30 kickoff for both games this Saturday night. I myself have cleared the schedule. There are some things I was supposed to do. We're at that point of the year where this takes priority in my house to watch everything inside and out in live time, not just put it on DVR and watch it the next morning, although I'll do that. If we look at these two games together, am I going to flip back and forth? Am I going to go to a sports bar? Can I make it to 12:30? Eric, do you have a strategy for Saturday night? Are you going to go?
I can't watch it at my house because I have DirecTV. Thanks a lot. I am going to go somewhere and probably watch it with some friends.
Both?
Yeah. And I don't really care as much about the U of A game. No offense to U of A, but I'm kind of more into what ASU is doing, and I'm curious to see because ASU has had chances on the road against quote-unquote better teams this year,
right?
And they haven't been able to get over that hump, and I'm wondering, as the season has progressed, if ASU is truly ready to take that next step and win at Oregon, which would set up a really, really, really fun teacup next weekend down in Tucson.
I've not seen weather yet. I've seen a couple lines from players saying it doesn't matter what the weather is. It's going to matter. We just have to go and take care of business on the field. That's all that matters.
I can find that out shortly. Stand by.
That all sounds good to me. But look, Oregon on a Saturday night at the University of Oregon on a Saturday night is automatically a couple-point favorite for the home team. There's no other way to put it. And so the Sun Devils are already going to come in down a couple of points, in my view, just because the fans are going to be all revved up. That's code for they're going to be drunk. And for a lot of them, not all of them. And they're going to just be ready to go. That's a rabid, hostile environment, even though they're not having a great team.
Saturday, the high is going to be 60.
Nice.
The low is going to be 32. It doesn't look like it's going to rain, so my guess is it's probably going to be in the 40s around kickoff, I guess.
So, and the game will finish at midnight. Well, yeah, in Eugene, yeah, about 11, 11:30.
Yeah, probably pretty cold, but not horrible. At least it's not
high
raining
30s.
Or sleeting. Or
has Manny played in much? I mean, Manny's been here a long time, so has
not
Manny played
can,
in
not that I can remember.
Cold?
I don't remember. ASU really hasn't played in very many cold
the
weather
Utah
games.
Game last year was not cold, if I remember correctly. I mean, like, really.
Right.
Bitter, because this is going to be high 30s. The Arizona game, see, I'm kind of reverse on this. Yeah, ASU's in the lead, and we know them better than what we know out of watching the U of A this year because, you know, we've not had Kevin Sumlin on the show yet. We've tried to have Kevin Sumlin on the show. He just doesn't do stuff. Khalil Tate was injured. Rhett Rodd came in for him. J.J. Taylor's done a very good job of running the football. I want both teams to win. That is the ultimate goal for me, is to have both teams win, because it sets up a great territorial cup that I'm going to go to, Jordan's going to go to, Shannon's going to go to. They're going to have three people down there for the game. I want this game to matter. If you're one of those Arizona State fans or even U of A fans that wants your arch rival to lose, I don't think you get it. I mean, you should want this to be a game that really, really matters. And so Saturday night on the ASU side, they have everything in front of them. But to me, regardless of how it goes, outside of getting blown out, that's the big proviso. If they go to Oregon and just crap the bed and get run off the field, kind of like, okay, I've seen this movie before. I don't think that that's going to happen. If they go to, if they, the fact they're even in a game of this magnitude this late in the season shows me what the success is for Arizona State this season under Herm Edwards. And there still is that faction out there that is caught up in Todd. Todd's not walking through the door. You guys need to move on. I don't know why this is such a hard and why it's even a talking point here in November when the team is playing meaningful games, other than you're saying, you know, this is a team that's winning with Todd's players. Well, no, not exactly. On the defensive side of the football, where they've gotten much better. And on the offensive side of the football, where their line has figured it out, their offensive line has given up 11 sacks this season. And that's produced plays like this. It's been able to, it's allowed Manny some time. And yeah, having the great receiver that was recruited by Mike Norvell, not Todd Graham, it was Mike Norvell. If you guys are being straight and true, it was all Mike Norvell that convinced Bryce Perkins and Chase Lucas and N'Keal Harry to go to Arizona State. Todd was the coach, but Mike was the guy that said you got it. And he camped out of Sean Aguano's office. So, you know, I'm looking at this as it's been a successful season in my point of view. They may end up in El Paso again, as much as I hate talking about a team going to El Paso, but that's the way it's set up in the Pac-12 conference. Unfortunately, you have these lower tier bowl games that just don't mean that much. And, you know, for N'Keal, he's never going to play another game at Sun Devil Stadium. That was it for him. And he's a lot of fun to watch. But Gardner Minshew, the quarterback at Washington State, he's a lot of fun to watch. The quarterback next year at Washington State is probably the kid that's right here in the Valley who's a senior at Castile High School, Gunnar Cruz. He's leaving school here in 4 weeks. Eric, there are Washington State fans at the playoff game the other night against Higley. They were decked out in the corner wearing their gear that came out from Washington State. They're from here in the Valley, I don't know. But there were a dozen of them that were wearing their Washington State gear, and they weren't the Cruz family.
They do have great fans at Washington State.
They didn't bring the flag with them.
No, but I mean, it's interesting to see Gunner just really evolve into a complete quarterback.
He's going to throw for a boatload of yards for Mike Leach.
Because the Gunner Cruz I saw in 0 week against Centennial compared to the Gunner Cruz I saw at the end of the year, where he was just shredding defenses, just looks like a completely different player.
All right, we'll take a break here. Back with some more thoughts after this timeout. A few other things before we get out of here. Arizona State basketball. I was talking with a friend of mine this morning who's really dialed in on the college basketball scene nationally. And we were just talking about how the games are now underway, and yet it doesn't really feel like college basketball season. Yeah, there's been some big games in terms of marquee brands, Kentucky, Duke, and all that. But there's not been this real push yet here locally. ASU's played a couple of games. GCU's played a couple of games. U of A's played a couple of games. Yesterday on the stream show, I don't know if you caught it, and we're going to put this up on the site, and that is we had on Talk to the Lopes yesterday, a really good conversation about where Arizona State and GCU are heading in their sports. Mike Vaught, the GCU athletic director, was with us. And he said that once football season is over for ASU, that they are going to meet. Guys, imagine if tonight ASU was playing Grand Canyon University. And imagine if U of A was playing NAU. And imagine if they were playing a doubleheader at Talking Stick or Glendale. Or some place here. I doubt they'd play it at ASU. I doubt they'd play it at GCU. It'd have to be a neutral site. But there's really no excuse for the four universities in our great state to not figure out how to do a doubleheader or how to play each other. It could be ASU hosts GCU the same night that NAU plays at U of A. And next year they rotate through. Some way, somehow, figure it out. When Arizona State and U of A have their bye weekend every other year, or maybe it's just when they play 1 week in January, that other game, instead of an open date, that's GCU. And GCU plays both teams. I have no doubt in my mind that Dan Marley would play both U of A and ASU. I have no doubt in my mind that Bobby Hurley wants to play Grand Canyon University.
Well, U of A has already played Grand Canyon, so.
Once.
Yeah, but at least they've played.
But I want it every year. I want it every year. Within the schedule, Eric, the four universities play each other every year. There's really no reason to not have that. What is the downside for NAU playing GCU? What's the downside for GCU going up the hill to play NAU? What is the downside to have a doubleheader in downtown Phoenix? One game's at 5, one game's at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. You flush out the fan base and you make it the big event in Arizona. You call it the Territorial Cup. I don't care what you call it. You call it the Battle of the Four, the Big Four. It's like in Philadelphia. Philadelphia has those four schools, LaSalle, Villanova, and they play all the other schools in the Philly.
Temple, yep.
Temple, right. And there's one other one I'm forgetting.
Yeah, I can't remember which
but, one. But if you do that here.
Oh, St. Joe's.
Okay, so something similar to that. What is the downside? How can this not happen? And the fact that Mike Vaught said, yes, things are getting, I've heard things are getting better. I've heard that GCU and ASU actually did meet, President Mueller and President Crow. Neither one would go on the other's property. So they had to meet at some coffee shop in downtown Phoenix. I don't know if they had to measure it on MapQuest of what is exactly 3.2 miles between the two schools. I don't know.
Or maybe they could be like get gimmicky Brad and play it at Chase Field or do something.
Charlie
different.
Did that. Remember that?
Yeah.
Charlie did a game there.
Against Tennessee, I believe.
Yeah, Charlie did that.
Great, but, and it was great. Big turnout.
But we're at a point where, you know, yesterday Mike Vaught's telling me that Andy Stankiewicz is playing Cal, Stanford, and I believe Washington State and U of A in baseball.
And TCU.
And TCU, yes, I know. So, but it's if they can do that in baseball, and there was a time where ASU and Grand Canyon University baseball were a big deal. If they could do that in baseball, they could certainly do it in basketball. The fact that these two are going to meet, could it be that when we do our fearless 2019 predictions, we put as somewhere down the line, ASU and GCU are going to play in basketball. Hallelujah. Is there a time when we could do that? Now, on the basketball court, yesterday was the early signing period for basketball, for girls volleyball, for several sports, not football. Football signing period comes up in just over a month, December 19th through the 21st. That's the start of the signing period for football. So we're like just under 5 weeks away. Yesterday, Arizona State landed Jalen House. Jalen House is Eddie House's son. Jalen House has a range of from the parking lot when he closes the door or the bus door closes to the rim. Jalen House, literally when I've seen him play, will step over half court and launch a three and turn the other way and be running backwards as it's going through the net. That's what he does. Casa is what Eddie House's nickname was. Jalen, I don't know if it's going to be fair to him or not. When people start asking him, do you think you can break your dad's all-time scoring record in a game, which was 60, I believe, against Cal. But he's coming. And he is a lot of fun to watch. I wouldn't say he's going to make first team all defense just on what I've seen of him at Shadow Mountain.
But he could. If he wanted to, he definitely could.
Do you agree with me? He's.
I mean, he gets a lot of steals.
Yes.
He's just.
But he's overmatching kids that just don't have the skill level.
True, and the effort is there when Jalen House feels like having the effort there.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, you know, when it's good for the team. But, I mean, he's. I remember I did a feature on him when he was a freshman. And even back then, Brad, he was 5'7"
jersey couldn't hang on.
Maybe weighed 115 pounds, and he was just an assassin. I mean, he played even as a freshman, played so fearless. And to see how he's progressed, he's gotten bigger, he's gotten stronger. He's got unlimited range, and he is just like his dad, not afraid to shoot it.
He's going to be the price of admission.
I
now,
think so.
Now, when you watch what Bobby's doing over there,
and Bobby's kind of the perfect coach because Bobby's probably going to have to reel him in.
Sure.
A little bit and turn him into more of the Bobby Hurley point guard than the Eddie House point guard / shooting guard.
Now, what I've seen out of ASU so far this year, Remy Martin, while he's had a foot that's bothered him, he's still Remy Martin and he looks bigger and quicker and all
yep,
that.
Good
so
player.
He's not there yet. Dort looks really good.
I have not seen a lot, but I look forward to watching him play this year because I've heard great things. I've seen some highlights.
You know what he reminds me of physically is Markel Fultz.
Yeah.
Just a big physical. I'm gonna.
He's an NBA guy, from what I heard.
Raleigh Alkins is probably a better way to put it. He's
Got
Raleigh
it.
Alkins. He just looks like Raleigh Alkins to me. When Raleigh was at U of A, his last couple of seasons. The question I'm going to have is, and this is a year away, is how is Bobby going to work Jalen House in on this rotation, and are there enough minutes? Because Jalen House right now and playing for Mike Bibby over at Shadow can do whatever he wants. play as much as he wants. How is he going to handle the structure of being a 19-minute guy versus being a 30-minute guy? You know, that's what you always see of these young guys when they come along. And then having dad over there doing the analysis. I think it's great locally. Having a local kid is crucial for Arizona State and GCU. It really is. Zylan Cheatham coming back, I'm interested to see him play. If Arizona State could ever transcend that over onto the football field and find a quarterback, have a local quarterback who is a stud, a Spencer Rattler-type kid who was a stud, or a Jack Miller who was a stud, and they hit it with that kid for 3-4 years, they would fill seats. They haven't done that yet, but they're going to do that in basketball. It's good stuff. Devin Henry's our chairman of the board. If you go to the website and you look at sports360az.com, you're going to notice quite a bit of sportive speed of NASCAR from last week and some a NASCAR feature we put up today. So Devin's whole passion play is sports on the track. And he does some high school stuff and play-by-play, which is fine. But there's really good content up there if you're into the auto racing, motorsports scene. It's good stuff there. Of course, Eric Sorensen, the Senior Executive Vice President of everything here at Sports 360. I'm Brad Sussmat. Have yourself a great day.